Hello and welcome to the Sisterhood in Session podcast. I'm Sarah Ridge and I'm the founder of the Sisterhood Networking Group. Our meetings are relaxed and informal, with a focus being on connection and support. Since launching in 2022, I've been introduced to some incredible women, all with amazing stories to tell. Now it's time to share those stories with you. So grab yourself a cuppa, sit back and relax, and prepare to be inspired. Before we get to this week's episode, I would be super, super grateful if you could hit the follow button. And then at the end, if you've liked what you've heard, just leave a little review. That would be amazing. It just means that more people will get to hear about the Sisterhood in Session. And it also means that I will be able to get some more fantastic guests for you to listen to. Thank you so much. Hi everyone, welcome back to the Sisterhood in Session podcast. I have another amazing episode lined up for all of you. Very much looking forward to introducing you to a lovely friend and also a regular Sisterhood attendee and member, the gorgeous Kat Googe. Welcome, Kat.
Thank you, my darling. And I've been super excited about this. Can't wait to chat. I need to be very good at us not over talking.
Well, that's okay, because we have lots and lots to talk about. But first of all, let me introduce you as, and I just love this title. It's the best title ever. You are a joy queen. Yeah. If anybody wanted a title to give themselves, I think joy queen is right up there. So, first of all, explain to me what joy queen means to you, and then we'll talk through, you know, your history, because you've not always been a joy queen necessarily. This is a fairly new venture for you, and I'm really excited to share your business journey with everybody, where you started and obviously where you are now and all the fantastic things you're doing now. So, but joy queen, that title, it's amazing. Tell me more about it.
Yeah, so it's so interesting, isn't it? Because as people in business, we're always looking for the title, right? We're always looking for, you know, what do I call myself? And da, da, da. And you know, it is something that we can get really, really like hung up about, right? And I just remember it was probably about 18 months ago, something like that. And I'd, you know, tried different, like empowerment coach and confidence coach and confidence and joy coach and all these things. And someone who I was in a coaching container with, one of the coaches in there, said to me, "Do you know what? You are the queen of joy." And I went, "Oh my gosh, that's the title. That's exactly what I need to." So I was just like, right, I'm having it. I am owning Joy Queen. So yeah, it just landed.
I absolutely love it. And you definitely embody everything that joy is all about. And I can't wait for you to share exactly what that means to you in terms of the work that you do now. But let's rewind the clock back, because you had a completely different career, didn't you, before this all came about. So tell everybody what you used to do.
Well, yeah, so I was a primary school teacher for 20 years, and actually it's no coincidence I meet quite a lot of former teachers in this world, right? Because we are multifaceted as teachers, right? There's an awful lot of things.
A lot of hats you have to wear as a teacher.
All the hats. So many hats. And it's like there's so many transferable skills. So I'd spent some time traveling, and then I came back home and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to probably be a bit sensible now, right? And I became a teacher, and I absolutely loved it. I started teaching probably in my late 20s, absolutely loved it, until I didn't, you know, like something started to stop resonating with me, you know. And anyone that has been in the teaching world who's listening to this, anyone that's got kids that have kind of like, you know, just got a bit with education will be nodding their head, right, going, yeah, I can see how it starts to become like there was a heaviness with it, right? And instead of me just having that kind of like, yay, you know, like just excitement and passion for it, all started to dwindle. And, you know, I spent probably most of my 40s going, right, what else can I do? What else can I learn? What else can I bring into school? So I still was kind of driven by what can I change in this system? Because it was a system I didn't like, right?
Was it the stress and the pressure that you found yourself under? Yeah, because we hear that all the time, don't we, about that, you know, teachers having to be in at 6 a.m. and then they're not leaving till 7 p.m. and then, you know, all those holidays that you get, you know, the 4 weeks at winter and the 6 weeks at summer. Yeah, that works out to like a couple of days here and there because you're in the classroom prepping for the next term. Is that what was getting you down, or was it
things? Yeah, for me, it was like all of that is very, very true, right? And there's a lot of teachers that are like living that as a reality. I was working part time, so I had time away, which was a gift. And also I had really different kind of roles. So it wasn't the stress of it. It was the system of it. Do you know what I mean? It was the fact that I was teaching things that I didn't necessarily believe in and doing more of the things to boost that I didn't think was right. And I was really, 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 really focusing on wellness. So I trained as a relaxed kids coach. I trained as a story massage practitioner, and I brought it into what I was doing, but it still wasn't enough. I still was just accessing, you know, just a small chunk of what I wanted to do. I wanted to be working with thousands, not like just small little pockets, you know? And I just thought, gosh, you know, if I don't do something, I'm just going to retire or die a teacher. And that felt really scary. You know, I just really felt that then I would just be settling. And I was like, I'm not here to settle. So I, you know, did these different trainings and brought it into the work I was doing, but I wasn't lit up, right? And I just think it's so important for us to be lit up by what we do, because, you know, that way it's like actually like we really do feel like we're living. And that is, I've experienced lots of pockets of that, like the start of teaching when I lived in Thailand and was working in diving. Like I was like, I know what it feels like to love what you do, and I wanted to feel that again. And what happened was about 5.5 years ago, we had this massive well-being day at our school. It was part of lots of different trusts. There's like 800 people descended on the premises, all doing all these things for wellness, which was brilliant. And one of the things you could choose was laughter yoga. And I was like, what is that? I've heard of goat yoga, hot yoga. You know, there's all sorts of different yogas. I was like, I've never heard of laughter yoga. And I was like, it sounds like a lot of fun. And honestly, it was incredible. It was a 60-minute workshop. There were some people that I worked with, but because it was like all the trusts together, there was a load of people I didn't know. And the connection and the feeling and the energy in the room was incredible, you know. And I finished the 60 minutes and I was like, boom, like I am going to train as a laughter yoga leader. Like this.
Wow. So it was I went
and saw the first, and I was like, right. Tell me. And she went, well, my next one is in January. Come along, you know? And so, yeah, I trained in that, 3 months later, but I still like hung around in school for another, probably 2 years, you know, doing that dance of like, oh, what do I do? How do I do
that limbo where you're not quite sure, you're not quite ready. Do you think this is part of, you know, hitting 40, not wanting to call it, you know, the classic in inverted commas midlife crisis, but when we get to that point in our lives where we can be a little bit more selfish, we can actually think about what we want, what we need, and not feeling like we need to just go along with what we've always done. Do you think that was the case for you, that you hit that milestone and thought, I want more now, and I want more for me. I want the joy, which is obviously what you've discovered.
Yeah, I think the biggest driver was I wasn't lit up by what I was doing. You know, there was chunks in when I was teaching where, you know, it literally, right, like my body was dancing. It was like so exciting, leading a choir, taking 100 kids, you know, on stage to perform in front of people. Like, you know, like elements of it was so, you know, so inspiring and really motivating. And then, you know, things changed, and it just so the big driver was it just not lighting me up. The addition to that is, yes, my kids were getting older, right? So it's really handy being a teacher whilst I had kids, because I never had to worry in the holidays of like who on earth is going to look after them, because it could always be me. So, you know, as they got older, there's like suddenly like more spaciousness for your brain. And that, I think for me, it wasn't so much the turning 40, it was the approaching towards 50, because actually when I resigned, I was 49 and I was like, I need to get out of teaching before I'm 50, because, you know, like, I think it's probably fair to say in a lot of things that people do profession wise, if they haven't taken a leap by like 50, they end up doing the, oh, I'll just settle, you know, it's only another 10 or 15 years. And I like if you could see my face,
no!
I'm like, whoa, 10 or 15 years. Like, one, we don't know if That's it is 10 true. Or 15 years. Like, we never know, you know? So I'm like, actually, like, I'd rather die trying, you know? I'd rather take the risk and
embrace like, the now, give it a shot. Because you just don't know what's around the corner. I couldn't agree.
And like I say, there was that 2-year kind of dalliance after I'd found Laughter Yoga, and I was like, wow, what's the business? I don't know. And da, 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 and I trained in some other things, and then I was like, right.
So what was the catalyst for you that 2 years? Did you wake up one morning and go, right, today's the day? Or did you ummed and ahed for quite some time, maybe put some feelers out and then gently made that transition? Or was it just you sat up in bed one morning and went, right, come on then?
Right. Well, COVID times in school were, you know, like not fun. So this was right in the middle of the COVID. The COVID lockdown things were kind of in and out, but everyone was back in school from memory. I mean, it's hard to remember, isn't it, properly? But it was January in 2021. And like in teaching, you have to resign at only really specific times. Like you're really kind of held in and only can leave 3 times a year, right? But I resigned in the January I am going in July. So I just suddenly just made the decision. I was like, if I do it now, then I'm definitely going. And I remember doing that probably 10 years before in a job where I really wasn't happy. I didn't like the head. He's not going to listen to this, so that's okay for me to say that. And he ruined a lot of teachers, right? Which unfortunately,
no, that's people, awful.
Yeah, like most of the school left. And again, I resigned in January. But I'm staying till July to receive my holiday pay, but I won't be coming back. Thank you. You know. So I had that experience of actually, once you make the decision, even though it's way off, like something shifts, you know?
And how did that make you feel, handing in your
name?
Yeah,
I really excited, because I knew I had a buffer until the end of August, because that's where the teaching salary goes. And also a bit like, what am I going to do?
Those butterflies in your tummy, those good butterflies where, you know, you're taking a bit of a leap, but you're excited about what the future holds.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's like, actually, what I think is really interesting in this process, because for me to have left when I knew I wanted to leave, I didn't need to resign until the end of May, right, to be in that kind of half-term window. But I didn't want to do that kind of, like, suddenly the fear creep up and the dancing with it. And actually what happened is 2 months after I resigned, I lost my dad suddenly, you know, and... I kind of think afterwards, gosh, like if I hadn't already resigned, because it was right in a lockdown, we had to wait 6-7 weeks for his funeral, you know, everything was really prolonged, would I still have resigned? You know, I don't know. I honestly don't know, because you don't know like how you're going to react, in
emotionally,
that
would have been a bigger thing.
Yeah, you know, it, like
emotions yeah. then, which might have impacted like, your ability to be able to make that decision.
Exactly that, you know, and like what was also really interesting was just after that, and I just think like it's like the universe is really weird, isn't it? You know, it does bizarre stuff. I was gifted a retreat in Mykonos, which I went on the year after. It was held virtually a few weeks after that. So I suddenly was held and really nourished. And I was gifted a year's scholarship on a coaching program, you know,
which
held me as a high level. It's like £18,000 coaching program. It was insane. And the coach went, I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. And I'm going to hold you, you know. And I was
That's
like,
incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
Just what you needed in every respect by the sounds of it, with everything going through.
You know?
These emotions you were wrestling with, it couldn't have come at a better time, scooping you up
when
you needed it most.
And if I hadn't resigned, would those things have come in? I don't know. Again, you know, I really don't know. I made space. I made space, and I made space for two absolutely incredible, hugely pivotal things, you know?
Wow. One of my favorite sayings, it's very cliche, but I love it. And it's so true, is that everything happens for a reason. And, you know, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now in all the different, you know, different hats that I wear with the networking meetings that I host, and obviously now the podcast and all the other things that I'm doing. It's because things have been put in front of me at the right time, or, you know, the universe has kind of orchestrated things to be able to facilitate these things to happen. And I genuinely believe that. And if anybody tells you any different, they're lying. That's what I say. The universe does have your back when you need it. And I think you need to put things out into the universe if you want them to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. It blows my mind, actually, you know, but yes, like there's when you look, there's so much confirmation there, isn't there?
That's true. You know? Or we could have a whole podcast chat about manifestation, law of attraction, and all of that kind of thing. But let's. I want everybody to know. Yeah. What happened next? So you joined in with a year long coaching program that obviously fundamentally changed you as a person. So then, what was the next steps after that for you?
Yeah. So it's been nuts, really. Like that whole kind of entrepreneurial road is like, I'm moving my hands up and down. It's like, it's bumpy, it's wonky. It's like,
it's a bumpy ride,
you know? Yeah. So I tried lots of things that didn't necessarily work, right? Because that's what we do. We're creative. And you know, in this game, like resilience is really powerful muscle. So it's like, okay, didn't go right. Well, let's do this thing. And I tried other things that worked really well. And what I added into my toolkit was being an NLP practitioner, so I could do coaching, and also being a Reiki practitioner.
Just for those that don't know, what does NLP stand for?
It's neuro-linguistic programming. It's basically rewiring your brain and reframing things so you look at the world differently and optimize like the way your life gets to look, in a nutshell. It's really powerful stuff. And really interestingly, since I met More Laughter Yogis, lots of them are NLP practitioners, and Reiki is also like a really beautiful kind of mixture to put in the formula. So it's like this gorgeous little trifecta, if you like.
Amazing. So NLP, and then you said that some of things didn't work out. So, and there are definitely lessons to be learned, aren't there, from everything that you try. And as a business owner, I think it's important to think that you haven't failed if something doesn't work out, you know. And I think we're very hard on ourselves, particularly, I think, women probably more than men. Men, things just bounce off them and they're like, yeah, whatever, let's carry on. Whereas women, emotionally, I think we internalize a lot of stuff. We beat ourselves up a lot more. We're trying to be perfect in every role, you know, as a business owner, a wife, a friend, a mom, you know, all the different hats that we have to wear. And I think Yeah, I think learning from those experiences and taking something from everything that you try, even if it doesn't quite work out, is really important. Did you take lessons from the things that didn't quite work out and transfer them into the next things that you tried?
Oh, always. And I think the thing is, like when you start out with your business, like you have this idea, you know, and I think a lot of it is like a feeling, you know, like when you're a heart-led business owner and you're multi-passionate, like you feel it, you really feel it. But you don't necessarily know like how you're going to get there, what it's going to look like. And I think you almost need to go through these iterations, like I was saying about the naming of like what you are and the naming of your business. My business started off with a name and now my business is me. It's Kat Gooch, you know. And I just think like you learn to get in that flow of like, actually, what am I really here for? What do I stand for? What is important to me? You know, like, how do I get that message across in the best way possible? So, yeah, I tried group programs. I've done lots of workshops where people have come along and no one signed up to the thing, but it's like I've learned so much from it, you know. And now I've got to that point in my business where I'm like, okay, a membership is like a really powerful thing for me because I do events and festivals. And that became part of the process last year. Because the previous year I'd done a festival and I was like, oh, you know, bringing laughter, yoga and Reiki, this like beautiful energy work to big spaces actually is where it's at, you know. And so now it's like, I'm like, okay, the festivals, the events, the bigger stages, the speaking, the like really speaking from my heart about what I'm passionate about for women to love themselves deeply, to believe in themselves and to like be the creators of their own joy. I'm like, this is the platform for it. So, you know, I wouldn't have known that when I started, you know, I just didn't know that then. So
yeah, that's so interesting that you say that, because one of the Sisterhood company values is passion and purpose. Because that's exactly it. I think if you're starting out in business, you need to define what your passion and purpose is. If you're not led by that, then why are you doing what you're doing? I think whether your business is joy, or your business is bringing women together to network, or you know, whether it's you sell mortgages, whatever it is, you've got to be passionate about it and you do it with purpose. And I think, yeah, I think that's it's really, really important as a business owner. If you're just starting out, make sure you nail that first, I think, before anything else. Don't start something just because you feel like you should, or you know, you saw somebody else doing it, so you know, maybe I'll give that a try. It's got to come from the heart, I think. And you being at festivals, I mean, literally, festivals equals joy in my
totally
opinion. It's a perfect platform for you, and I know you've got loads of great stuff lined up.
And I just want to add with that whole thing of like you really feeling it and having that passion is, I remember during lockdown watching a reel by Joe Wicks, because obviously he became really huge in lockdown for families, for people to use it in teaching. And this reel showed him showing up at Richmond Park on his own in the wet. And he was like, I turned up. And then he's on this stage like this, right? And there are thousands of people and it's somewhere sunny. And I went, I see myself. I really, really looked at him and went, this is what I'm going to do. This is my path. I went to community centres where no one had booked on to come to like a laughter yoga class, right? Much like he started. And my husband would go, why are you going? I went, because someone might just rock up. And then I'd sit there for 20 minutes in the space that I'd booked. And then I'd come home. And I was like, I always, always show up for myself and for everyone else. And I was like, that is such a like a powerful thing to connect to, like someone else's journey where you really resonate.
Being inspired.
A big driver, a big driver.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And to be honest, we're all starting like that, aren't we? Whenever you set up a business, it is just you and a little idea, whatever that might be. It's you thinking, yeah, I can do this. You might need to train, you might need to get qualifications, or you might just think, right, I'm just going to give this a go. And that was me with the sisterhood. I just showed up at a pub, messaged a few people and said, do you fancy coming and doing a bit of networking? And a few of them went, yeah. And just like you, I went along thinking, I'm not even sure if anyone's going to come, but I showed up. And then they did, and they all brought friends, and there was 12 of us. And then that's how the sisterhood was born. And I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be perfect straight out the gate as business owners, that if, you know, if we do show up for something and nobody turns up, just like we were saying, you know, we're a failure, and that it's not going to work. Oh, I'll forget it. Never mind. You know, I'll go and get a real job. But that's not the case. And I think you've got to be, as you said at the start of our chat, resilience is key. You've got to be bulletproof as a business owner, and you've got to be determined, and you've got to have passion, and you've got to have purpose. And I think, you embody all of that, Kat. Just very quickly, tell us about what we could expect at a Laughter Yoga session. I obviously know because I come and it's amazing and I love it. But it's the maddest, most brilliant, most heart-centered, gorgeous hour that we all spend together. But tell everybody what they could expect.
Right. So the reason I am so passionate about it is because it is about so much more than laughter. Like, laughter is the vessel. It's, you know, much like, you know, with breath work, people are using their breath, but it's like, you unlock. This is what laughter yoga does. You actually, it's a real peeling back of the layers. So if you are experiencing emotional pain, physical pain, you can actually release that in this session. It's so, so powerful. I've had people actually where you've been in the session where they've gone, I had sciatica before I came here and now it's gone. You know, exactly. People can cry in the session because it is deeply releasing and healing. So I think, you know, like, part of my real role with laughter yoga is to educate about how powerful it is and how it isn't just like a bit of silliness and a bit of, you know, a bit of whatever. It's like, actually in it you can get deep release, deep shift, and it's quick. I don't know any other tool, any other wellness tool that does it quite so quickly and powerfully. So I'm like, you know, why would we not all want a slice of that? You know, it's like,
I couldn't agree more. Incredible tool. You have to be willing to leave your inhibitions at the door when you walk through, because it is definitely, I think for some, you feel like you're coming out of your comfort zone a little bit. You have to be willing to just let go completely for an hour. But the benefits that you get from doing that far outweigh the awkwardness that you might feel about just bursting into laughter. And I have to say, you have the most infectious laugh I think I have ever come across. So just hearing you laugh makes you want to laugh. So
I honestly think I was born to be a laughter yogi, because 100%. Like, literally everybody says that. And I'm like, yes, that's such confirmation that I'm in the right space, right?
Absolutely gorgeous. And I couldn't recommend it more. I'm super excited for you and where you're going to go and where this journey is going to take you. So we'll have to do another podcast episode with a catch up after your festival experiences this year, because unfortunately we've run out of
time.
Every episode I go, how can it be half an hour already? But before we go, please do tell everybody how they can find you online. Where can they search for you? How can we join in with laughter yoga? What tell us everything.
Right. So I am Kat Googe Official on Insta. So I'm super active on there. On Facebook, I'm Kat Googe Joy Queen. So come and find me there. And I also have a website, katgooge.com. You can come and experience some gorgeous laughter yoga in my membership. I've kept it super low investment and super high value. So if you want to be in the here and now with energy work and to learn to how to release stuff quickly, so you can actually like move through life in the way that you want to feel and the energy you want to feel, then it's like, it's a really brilliant space to be. We do laughter, we do dancing, we do Reiki, but the biggest thing is you're in this beautiful community. So the Inner Joy Circle is a great space to get to like learn those tools and like reconnect with yourself, really.
It all sounds amazing. I think you're fantastic. You are a lovely super addition to the Sisterhood membership as well. I love having you coming along to meetings, and thank you so much for joining me today. I'm sure lots of people will resonate with a lot of what we've said. As always, these chats are so interesting, so I really appreciate you coming on and talking to me. So thank you, my lovely. Aww.
Thank you so much for having me, darling. It's been an absolute joy.
Thank you. Lots of love. I'll see you soon.
Lots of love, darling. Thank you.
You have been listening to the Sisterhood in Session podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like more information about the Sisterhood Networking Group, then please contact us via our Facebook page, or you can email Sarah at thesisterhoodnetworkinggroup.com. Franchise opportunities are available UK-wide. Just contact us for more details. See you soon.